sharpest John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, man, it's a Reaction Monday brought to you by Shoppers John Deere here. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula. We've been, more than you would imagine, still chopping up what to do with Laremy Tunsil in various breaks. And apparently I've been told there's a phone call. I'm not sure if this gentleman wants to talk about Laremy Tunsil, but I have a guess that it probably will come to that. This is Dominic in New Jersey. Dom, yes. What's happening, man?
Gentlemen, I am beyond pissed off today. Yesterday was one of the worst days in my life watching our beloved Texans. Listen, nobody's safe. I want to start off with that. No one is safe on this phone call. I'm coming for everyone. It starts with Laremy Tunsil. Absolutely pathetic. Forget what he did on the field. What was even worse was his post-game comments. That, I lost sleep over that last night. He should be benched, cut, do whatever. I don't even care. Number two, I love him to death. I would die for C.J. Stroud. I want to make that clear. But I don't like his body language. Something looks off. It's looked off all year. They haven't been in sync. Very disappointed him. He needs to come out firing something against Jacksonville. Bobby Slowick, how many times are you going to light first down on fire with a run up the middle for a loss of 2-3 yards? It doesn't work, bro. Figure it out. Finally, D'Amico Ryans, I would also die for D'Amico, but I'm disappointed in you. I was at the game last year against the Colts. Why do you struggle against these offensive-minded head coaches? Because you're stuck in your ways. Steichen brutally beat you down the first time around. Stefanski brutally beat you down the first time around. Now O'Connell. I know he made adjustments against the Browns and the Colts last year, but why do you have to take that teeth-kicking for you to change your ways and have Stingley follow the number one receiver and change things up? Guys, I feel much better now. Thanks for hearing me out. Good talking to you.
The call, Dominic. When you said everybody on the call is safe, I was like, what did I do? I thought I was about to get a tongue lash. No, apparently it was just CJ, Laremy, D'Amico. Bobby got one as well.
Bobby got a little one, too. But Dominic is great, and he hit that right on, and it's perfect transition to passing thoughts.
Yeah. And by the way, Dominic, don't worry. We will talk a little bit about the D'Amico and this defense at one, because I do think that there's something might have been pointed out, a weakness possibly. Mm-hmm. But right now, I got to make sure that we clear out space for the OG's passing thoughts.
Experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
Still can't believe you
tell us that story.
Yeah, doing that in the locker room, that's crazy, bro.
Yeah, tell us that story.
Hey, maybe one day. Look, man, I don't know. It's a cliche, but I really felt yesterday, and I mentioned this to you, Reggie, before the show, like I had a bad vibe from the first snap of the game. Like just the first drive, like, and I know everybody says you got to start fast, and if you don't start well, you can always recover, and teams make comeback. Hell, some teams made some great comebacks yesterday. I'm telling you, I don't know if I'm alone on this. Like the first drive, I was like, this is not going to be good.
Oh, I wasn't excited about the first drive when you have that, you know, pass tipped and intercepted. But one of the things, especially because it was very apparent that this Vikings team has benefited and they feast off of the idea of having a good game script, right? Mm-hmm. If they're ahead of the change, if they're ahead on the scoreboard, it allows them to get to the things that make them real dangerous. So one of the things is putting them behind the eight ball, and you don't do that with an interception to start the game. And then when you get a drive, you miss the field goal because, first of all, you don't get in the end zone, right?
Yes.
Then you to kick a field goal and you miss it. Like, those are things that continue to allow them to get ahead of the eight ball. And I thought those didn't make me feel good, but there was still very much opportunity. I was still in the place where I was like, man, this team still has a lot of opportunity to go and take them.
Tangibly, yes, but I just felt like this is going to be bad from the very first drive. Another passing thought here. We gave credit to the pressure that they were able to muster, the Texans, here and there. But I thought the biggest lie of the entire day was the 4 sacks, because Sam Darnold had a lot of time in a lot of key situations and was just picking you apart. He threw for, you know, so many yards and picked you apart. And I'm not saying, oh, hey, that's Sam Darnold, because he actually, you know, is playing pretty good football all year long. But that didn't feel like a, oh, they are getting the quarterback rattled kind of 4 sacks, you know?
That's interesting, because I understand what you're saying. And I mean, look, I don't know how much people want to do this, but you kind of have to tip your cap to Kevin O'Connell, because he was feasting.
Like, yeah.
He was cooking when it came to setting yourself up for success. Another one of those games where wide open throws consistently there, right? And so also when you talk about the time that they had to sit back and throw, right? Because the Texans brought four. I thought that was there as well. But so, but I mean, I was impressive. I was still impressed that they were able to get the amount of pressure that they would. But you're right. Like, there was still plenty of opportunities for Sam Darnold to sit back and be comfortable.
Yeah, there are games when you get sacks and pressures and you're like, oh, that quarterback's rattled. Never felt like
Sam Darnold. Right, when it changed the tenor of
what's happening. Never felt like Sam Darnold was rattled. Another passing thought here, and we'll dig in more into this when we talk about the defense, as you mentioned. But the Texans looked from the very start like they were just guessing when it came to Justin Jefferson. Eric Murray in the red zone, Al-Shaair in the red zone, soft coverage, tight coverage, and then there's this stat that I came across after the game. They played off coverage, which means more 5 or more yards of a cushion against Justin Jefferson 50% of the time.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was guessing. This is, again, where I'll tip my hat to Kevin O'Connell, and I think this is one of the issues that we'll talk about at one. The Texans felt like they had to play in this zone situation. And then when you have to play in zone, it's very easy for an offensive coordinator to go, okay, let me go and get these matchups that I want.
Okay, who's going to be my, you know what?
Azeez Al-Shaair, please step up to the podium. Do you think that you can guard Justin Jefferson? All right, how about you, Eric Murray? Do you think you can guard Justin Jefferson? Like, I think that speaks more to Kevin O'Connell absolutely taking something that the Texans put out there and being like, oh, I can work with that.
No, for sure. But 5 yard cushioning half the time, literally.
I got questions as to some of the decisions that were made there.
Yeah.
I think I have an idea as to maybe why some of it is, but still, I think the question has to be asked.
We'll get to that. Another one here. There really aren't a lot of things on an NFL football field that I can honestly say, boy, I've never seen that before. Back to back to back to back penalties.
Yeah, one of them.
Never seen that before.
One of them, the Vikings were like, nah, y'all can hold that one. It's cool.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and kick it.
Exactly. That was unreal.
Took him out of field goal range.
That was absolutely unreal.
Not only did it kill the drive, it also took the points out of their pocket. Because we've seen this team, like, it's one of the things that they needed to clean up and that they haven't yet, right?
Yeah.
They were ending drives because of penalties, but at least in previous weeks, then Kaimi could step up here and kick one of these 50-plus yarders.
Yeah.
They were doing it to the point where Kaimi was like, you're not going to have me kicking 70.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got that call right here. You want to hear that call?
Let's hear it.
And all of a sudden, it's third down and 14 at the Minnesota 35-yard line. Can the maestro Stroud pull this one off? In the gun, Dare to his right, third and long. And we've got a false start on Laramie, it appears. That's 15 yards. Texans are unraveling. They had third and four. Now they're going to have third and 19.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Sarcastic on the Twitch. And I've seen it mentioned other times over the course of the day on the YouTube and the text. Even the ref at some one point was shaking his head like, man, you just can't get right.
You guys are bad. Another one here. I don't know if it was familiarity or just knowing what the Texans do, or maybe the Texans not advancing their offensive approach. But you got to give it three former Texans. Jonathan Grenard, 3 sacks. Good Lord. Kamu Grugier-Hill wound up in the right place.
I didn't even know he was on the damn team, man.
Yeah, man. His name got called quite a few
times. Mind you, I'm listening on the app, on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, like, Kamu Grugier-Hill.
When he got the intercept, I'm like, he played for them? I'm like, goodness.
That man.
They had that game circled.
Yeah, man. We set this thing up as, oh, man, who's going to show up in the revenge game? And, buddy, it was the dudes in purple.
Yeah.
They had previously played.
Anybody that played for the Houston Texans, step on up.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's more. But wait, there's more. Blake Cashman making big plays.
And he got in some boys' faces at some point, too.
Shaq Griffin.
Had a PBU at one point, I very much remember.
So were they in D'Amico's and Matt Burke's collective heads, or they were just revenge game?
I think I know what it was. That guy, Max Tooley, they picked up off
the practice. Yeah, Max Tooley. That's right. Figured it out. I forgot about the Max Tooley.
He must have gave him the playbook or something, man.
Max Tooley.
Man, John Grenard had to be having a good night after that one.
Especially because it's like, all right, man, we got a great defense that creates chaos, and it's going to be tough on these boys. Wait, you putting Cade Stover over me?
Oh, that too.
All right, let's do that. Yeah. You know, Laramie Tunsil not even going to come in here?
Mm-hmm.
Titus Howard not going to come over here? All right, I got it.
Y'all going to regret not paying me.
Rookie tight end. I think we can get that sack leader one-on-one. Yeah, we got him. Yes. Planted. He was pancaked on the offensive side. Oh, you mentioned this earlier. And this was my passing thought. Well, I guess Kiami Fairbairn is human.
That was unfortunate.
You know, but here's the other part. You can't count on, as great as he's been, you can't count on, oh, well, we'll knock through another 50-plus yard field goal. It's hard to do.
Right. I mean, kickers in the league have become kind of OP in some ways. Or OD, I don't remember what the youths be saying nowadays. but no, man, like it's kind of crazy the way the kickers are. But still, like it's an imperfect thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's one of those things that, if possible, you should not want to lean on your kicker in the way that you have. It's good that when you do, you can get that kind of result, but it should not be something that you have to lean on. I think that was already an issue. That's one of those things where. You know, what is the Jeff Van Gundy quote, right? Like,
don't ignore in victory what you can't ignore in defeat.
Exactly. I think that was one of those things. It's like, hey, man, you having to lean on all these threes instead of going and getting sevens was something that was clearly something. I don't know if it was an issue, but that was something that you needed to work towards getting better at. And they worked away from getting better at that.
Yeah, no, that was what I was thinking. You can't just say, oh, well, Kiami will knock down a 55-yarder, because he won't all the time. Another one for you here. So I guess Thursday we were talking about the Vikings defense and I did a little bit of, you know, reading and catching up on their secondary, and I came up with, oh my goodness, they have 41 years of experience in that secondary, you know, with Stephon Gilmore and all the defensive players that they have in their secondary. I thought the secondary,
Harrison Smith,
Harrison Smith and all those. I thought, obviously, there's a lot of blame on Laremy Tunsil in the offensive line. A lot of blame. We've talked about the offense. At some point, you got to say, man, those guys had it locked in the Vikings secondary.
I think that it was more about the pressure that they were able to get up front.
That too.
That too. The secondary is going to look great. It's a symbiotic relationship. We know that about defense. I thought it was more about the fact that they had C.J. Stroud in hell. CJ Stroud said it himself that he felt like what they saw was things that they knew was coming, right? The things that they planned for, they just did not execute in a way that allowed them to take advantage of that, which to me sounds like, hey, the defensive line was eating us up before we had an opportunity to go and get the ball to the places that we needed to.
Yeah.
I mean, they threw the ball for a decent amount of yardage here. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't help that when you had drives successfully, one, you end up with a missed field goal. A few of them you have killed by penalties. Like, they moved the ball decently for a period of time. Mm-hmm. They just weren't able to continue to string it together. You know what I mean?
And for a lot of it, you know, self-inflicted. But that secondary was impressive. All right, one more for you here. And this almost irritated me as much as Laremy Tunsil did, which is saying a lot.
He came out here hollering. I saw veins popping out in segment one.
The veins, they were a popping, and you can hear that on the Odyssey app, and I'm sure his name will be mentioned again today and this week. But nothing irritates me more about why the Texans and teams in general, but why the Texans in this case got run out of the building yesterday, than when people say, well, that tough place to play. Toughest place to play in the NFL.
Real loud
stadium.
Yeah, real loud.
Get the hell out of here with that. These are professional football players that have been in every environment imaginable. They are grown-ass men.
Yeah, but they got a big-ass horn, though.
Come on. I don't care about the horn. I don't care about skull chants. I don't care about the horn.
Yeah, but the horn is really big. I don't think you understand.
I've seen it. It's a big horn.
I just want to make sure you knew that.
Kudos to the horn. Nothing makes me more irritated than... because it's an empty excuse. You know what? It's a tough place to play. You know what? It's loud. They got that big old horn. They got the skull chant. All that stuff. I am so tired of that. That's the Viking Stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, any stadium. Like, you know, it's just excuse making. Well, it was loud, dude. How many big loud stadiums have these guys played in? How many big loud environments have they gone into and executed their offense in their respective careers? These are 25, 30-year-old men and older that are paying mortgages and that have been in this and seen it and done it. I don't want to hear about the loud stadium.
But it is loud, though. No, I think that ends up being, it probably should not be used as an excuse in and of itself, but I think it ends up being like a force multiplier of sorts.
Maybe.
Where when you have the likes of Laremy Tunsil and the Pips when it comes to this offensive line, which is apologies to like Kenyon Green, he ain't really doing nothing. Shaq Mason got beat a couple times. So you can join this. But like the minority of, or like when you have mistakes, it turns those up, right? And it makes those more, I think, more likely, maybe more frequent.
But it seemed like, and maybe it's just from the broadcasts and everything else, well, you know, to their credit, you know, they can't hear a thing. Dude, Where has C.J. Stroud played? Oh, that's right, Ohio State. You know, some of these other guys, you know, where they played, Georgia and Alabama and all this other stuff, and in the NFL for 10, 12 years.
It still provides a challenge, but I think that it's a challenge that, in to your defense and in your point, that they should be up for the challenge of
exactly of
taking on.
Yeah.
There we go. OG's passing thoughts. On a Reaction Monday, where the Texans, I have to keep reading this or thinking about this score, 34-7. I remember walking out of this building after the game yesterday, and the security guard was like, "Did they win?" And in my head, I'm like, "Oh God, I have to tell her." Like, no, not even close. And I said, "Not even close," to try and shield her from that. Mm-hmm. And she said, "What's the score?"
Oh boy, now I've got to get the score.
I said 34-7. The way that her face looked at me. That is the face that I've looked, that has been in my head every time I've said that the Texans fell to the Vikings 34-7 at US Bank Stadium yesterday. Really, really unfortunate stuff. All right, man, let's take some of that off here as we're trying to have a little fun as much as we can through the attempted mentioning of Laramie Tunsil and us, other things. Let's do a little bit of a lunchtime confessions here in the loop next.